Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Great NBA player during his time, now doing a hell of a job as a head coach right now with the Raptors, 905 in the G League. 22-14 on the year. It's a great Tar Heel. We welcome in Jerry Stackhouse on the show. Jerry, thanks for joining us tonight.
Man, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
What's it like making the transition to a head coach?
I've been doing it for a little while, man. I started kind of on the grassroots circuit, so it wasn't like I was just, you know, in total, you know, foreign territory, because, I mean, I've been doing it probably since like 2009, 2010 when I was coaching my kids in like AAU basketball, so I just kind of naturally felt comfortable on the sidelines. But, you know, being able to go from grassroots high school kids to pros is, you know, it's kind of the same. You get a chance to, you know, teach. I don't even look at it more as coaching, just more so teaching the game of basketball. That's what I try to do.
Do you almost have to be a former player now to be a coach in the NBA?
You think? No, there's a lot of guys that didn't play. That's, you know, got man and head jobs now.
Jerry Stackhouse joining us on the show. Well, Jerry, because you go back to when you played, and I mean, you were a good player, and you played during a time, gosh, you know, and I don't mean to date you here. I was a kid when I first started you playing back in college. So it throws me off a little bit to see you now being a coach in the G League here, and you've been a coach for the last couple of years. As a coach now, what would you tell Jerry Stackhouse maybe back in like 1997?
Man, there's so much I would tell him. I mean, I wish I could have coached me, because I didn't really, unfortunately, I didn't feel like I got really, you know, coaching or understanding how to play with other great players until later on in my career. I don't think I had that early on. It was more so, or maybe my mind was clouded as a player, that it was so much about trying to do things as an individual that, you know, it wasn't until later on that I figured that I needed everybody else, needed my teammates more. And, you know, so I think that's what I try to do with these guys early on, you know, like especially G League guys. It's maybe a little bit tougher with pro guys, but let them know that in order for you to get to that next level, you're probably not going to be in those top 9 or 10 spots. You're going to be somewhere between 9 and 15. So you got to do all of the little things right, and you got to share the basketball. I think that's kind of been the message that I said I wish I would have probably had gotten that earlier on from a coach like myself.
How do you handle players when you talk to players? Because I talk to a lot of football coaches. It's different. You know, it's basically they're trying to paint with a broad brush. With you, you got fewer guys, but you also have, obviously, you're in the pros, so you got some egos that you have to deal with. How do you go about dealing with players?
I mean, I think the guys, I've been fortunate. I think guys have, you know, respect the fact that I've been there and I've done it. So, you know, been able to carve out a long career, you know, had two all-star seasons in this, and that's what they want to spot you. So they're open-minded, especially when they see that you know, you understand what you're talking about and you understand what you're teaching them, and then they're getting better and having some success with what they're doing. It's not, you know, a tough sell. I mean, there's so many people that understand basketball and know basketball. It just comes down to what can you get these guys to do. And I try to, you know, demand a lot of them, but at the same time, I hug them too. You know what I'm saying? I push them, but at the same time, I hug them. And I like big, you know, almost like a big brother. I'm not so far removed because I can still get out there and I can play and, you know, I can talk trash with them and understand it from that standpoint. But then when we're focused on our business and what we have to do, you know, they're all eyes and all ears. So I've been fortunate to have guys that have been real open to learning and to the teaching that we do.
Jerry Stackhouse joining us, head coach, Raptors 905 G League team with Toronto Raptors. You played with Paul Pierce, didn't you?
No, I never played with
Did Paul you play, Pierce. You obviously played it. You always played against him. What was it like to play against Paul Pierce?
He's a competitor, man. A tough competitor. Had a knack for making big shots, you know, big you know, big guard, really. I mean, he was like, you know, guard when, you know, like the early 90s. I mean, those mid-90s to early 2000s. I mean, all those guards were big, and Paul Pierce was like, you know, one of those wings that you know you had to face and see every night. So pretty, you know, pretty special night for him. You know, happy for him and his family.
Well, why is it then? And I don't know what you can give me as far as what some of the other guys in the league might thought. But there has been so much where I thought, okay, I thought he's a great Celtic during this time. He had his number retired. He should have had his own night. He was asked about it. I thought he was kind of put in a tough situation when he was on TV about it. But then we see some people, they're kind of going after him. Why do they go after Paul Pierce? Is there something I'm missing as a fan, as a guy who watches basketball? What am I missing there with that Paul Pierce?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's always been Paul. I mean, he's always kind of been brash and a little arrogant, you know, carries himself with that, you know, with that L.A. bravado. You know, he took that with him everywhere sometimes to the point to where I was ready to choke him sometimes, you know, with that, you know, just being a competitor. But he's going to speak his mind. He felt like it, you know, he deserved the night on his own, and I don't totally disagree with him. But when you speak the truth, sometimes you know you can be a lightning rod for some criticisms, and I think this was one of those opportunities for him to be a lightning rod for some criticism.
I love it, Jerry Stackhouse joining us on the show. So you're a head coach now. You'll probably be a head coach in the NBA at some point if you want to be. We're looking in the NFL. We just saw what happened with Josh McDaniels and the Indianapolis Colts. How much of a fit does it have to be? Would you take any one of the 30 jobs in the NBA, or do you feel like, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm playing the NBA. I played with some trash before, and I played with some great teams. Does it have to be a true fit for you now as a head coach if you were to get that opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has to be a fit from both sides. I mean, I have to be a fit for an organization, and they have to be a fit for me, just from the standpoint of, you know, where are we winning or, you know, teaching or you know, just have an understanding of where the organization is at the time. You know, I'm coming from a culture that's, you know, I just feel like, you know, we do a lot of things right, and I've seen it done right, and I understand how, you know, a well-run organization is supposed to, you know, manage its players, manage its coaches, manage its, you know, its staff and its personnel, and, you know, hopefully I can, you know, get an opportunity to kind of mimic, you know, a lot of the things that we do here in any situation that I'm, you know, fortunate enough to be a part of, but, you know, it has to be reciprocated, you know, where a team that wants to win, wants to, you know, put the resources out there to make sure that we have a winning team, a winning environment, a winning culture. So, you know, looking forward to just an opportunity to interview and hear people and give them an opportunity to hear me as well.
Jerry Stackhouse joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Jerry Stackhouse. What's your favorite city to be in when you're in the G League? What's your favorite road city?
I'm going to go with Portland, Maine.
Yeah? Portland, don't you guys wait, don't you guys yeah, play them man. Tomorrow?
I love seafood, and there's some of the best per capita. Portland, Maine has some of the best restaurants and the most restaurants of any place I've ever been. So, I mean, it's one of my favorite spots in the D-League.
That's right next to the baseball field, too, if I'm not mistaken. So they got that whole nice little area there.
Exactly.
Jerry Stackhouse joining us on the show. I'd ask you what's the worst, but I don't want you to give me the answer, because if you say Canton, I'm going to die. So I don't want you to say Canton. I don't want to hear you say Canton. We'll just move on with it. Jerry Stackhouse joining us on the show. So when you're working with some of these young guys, and I've asked you what it's like working with different personalities, what about different position groups there? How much do you lend? How much do you let out to your assistant coaches? And then maybe how much do you learn from them when you're working with them?
Oh, man, I have a great group of assistants. I think A.J. Diggs, he's kind of like the offensive guy, but, you know, kind of helps me on that end. Nate Mitchell, who's, you know, more of a defensive guy, helps me on that end. But, you know, these guys are going to be, you know, I think they aspire to be head coaches, and I think they're going to be head coaches themselves one day. I mean, just from, you know, kicking my butt in practice when I got the other team. So I mean, they know their stuff. They do a good job of teaching development and skill stuff. I think that's where they really stand out. A couple of our young, just trainers as well, and you know, Damani Hendricks and Ryan Smith, and then like my right hand is Nikki Gross. She's like the only one of two female coaches that's actually on the bench and the staff. And, you know, she does great, you know, with the guys on the court. I mean, just having a, you know, it's having a feel of having a woman in the environment. I mean, it's great because the guys always kind of look to her as the, you know, the protector and take care of her. And then she takes care of everything for me from the standpoint of all the logistics and everything that we have to do to make sure that we're organized. So it's definitely a team effort. And the guys, what they do on the court, helping these guys get better on a day-to-day basis. We wouldn't be as good or have the success that we've had if it wasn't for what those guys brought on a day-to-day basis.
Jerry Stackhouse, former NBA player and current coach, Raptors 905 in the NBA G League, joining us on the show. So the Raptors played today. They beat the brakes off the Hornets. How much attention do you have to pay to the Raptors because you're in the developmental stage with them?
I do. I mean, we have to pay attention because, you know, those guys come down quite frequently, you know, just to make sure they have the same terminology and different things like that. I think we do a good job of that, but at the same time, we don't have the same personnel that the Raptors have, so we have to adjust accordingly to, you know, what we have. We have a Kenny DeMeeks, we have a Siobhan Thompson, we got 2 7-footers on our roster that can, you know, actually get some things done on the block, so we may throw it in the post and play out of split games a little more than they do, but at the same time, you know, you watch us play and you see some of the exact same sets that the Raptors run as well. So when we have guys come down on assignment, that even though they're going to have to expand themselves a little bit from the standpoint of our playbook, but a lot of the things that, you know, we'll run to make things, you know, pretty seamless for them and an easy transition.
They got the one seed right now. How far can they go? And then what do you think that they might need a little bit of improvement on?
Well, I mean, I just think the bench has been really, really good. You know, a starter speaks for themselves. I mean, 2 proven all-stars, you know, in Kyle and DeMar. Serge Ibaka, the defensive player, JV, is having a hell of a year, in my opinion. So then you got, you know, a rookie in the starting lineup who, you know, hadn't seen one day in the D League. He's been that good in OG. So I think the pieces are there for them to have a really, really good chance of coming out of the East. But, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I was, you know, somewhat impressed with what I saw from Cleveland today, you know, with those new pieces and what they were able to do. So it's still going to be a heck of a challenge getting out of the East, but it's, I think this is, you know, as good a chance of any year that we've ever had of really having a realistic look of coming out of the East this year.
Jerry Stackhouse with us on the show. Final one. How often do you have to talk with Dwayne Casey?
Man, I'm down there pretty much whenever we're not playing. I'm at the home games. I'm, you know, in the locker room with the coaches. Yeah. But for the most part, man, I get to run my own program. I get to do what I want to do. Last year was a little different because we had, you know, more guys from the roster that was down at different times. But this year, it's you know, and the coach knows that, you know, what my aspirations are, and he wants to give me my space to be able to grow and kind of put my own imprint and identity on his team. So I mean, it's not like he's over my shoulders about it, you know, anything that I'm doing or whatnot, but we are in communication and making sure that we, you know, understand what guys' needs are, things that they need to work on when they're down in the G League, and you know, especially when you're dealing with injuries and different things like that, minute restrictions and all that. So we're definitely in constant communication from that standpoint.
Jerry, I thank you very much for the time. Good luck to you the rest of the way and continued success in your career.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.